Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 7th of June, recording at 7:02 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that because I had a number of appointments here earlier in the day, that I've written a very brief contribution to the comment sector, but Owen has filled in a good deal more. And I'll be able to do more tomorrow. However, I've certainly seen enough today to be able to carry on with this audio. And first, the review, as usual. Some, must be said, gut-wrenching sell-offs in some of the Asian markets here today, including Japan, South Korea, among some of the bigger decliners in big capitalization markets. One or two holdouts. New Zealand was notable for its comparative firmness. European markets started off weak, but just to demonstrate that it's not all one-way traffic in here, they closed mostly with gains on the day, and they were helped by Wall Street, which came in weak, in line with Europe, and then rallied. There wasn't any news that I was aware of. Certainly no economic news releases to assist the turnaround, but after some fairly reasonable gains on Wall Street, these are being pared back as I speak. So the bottom line here is that we're getting plenty of churning, and the bears are still in charge overall during this medium-term correction. Okay, government bonds mixed here, down a little bit in the U.S., up a little bit in Europe, but no real action there. In currencies, we're still seeing a firm dollar here, and that's been very much the story. When markets are weak, we do get we have seen the dollar experience its firmer days overall. More on that in a moment. And metals, we had a real downdraft in the precious metals earlier on, but actually most of the metals earlier on. But they, if not all of them, but they then recovered in line with that Wall Street rally. And a number of them are actually up on the day. Big turnarounds, intraday turnarounds, for instance, after sharp declines. Copper selling off very steeply, closing up on the day and with quite a reasonable gain. Silver plunging, but then closing up with a modest gain. Gold recovering most of its decline. For instance, down to 617.25 on spot bullion. Currently 628.15. So again, responding to stock market action. Oil's weaker on the more dovish messages coming out of. Coming out of Iran. Okay, where are we in terms of these stock markets? Well, very much still within this medium-term correction that I have been emphasizing in recent weeks, and the medium-term correction that I had long forecast for 2Q and 3Q of 2006. Now, I want to make a relevant digression here. And just to address some of the many new subscribers and trialists who've joined us quite recently, and I know that some of them, a fair number of them, will have done so either because people they knew had done well and had recommended the service, and I thank you very much for doing that. Subscribers are the main promoters of this service, and others had been receiving the free comment of the day, which we have always been happy to provide because it gives people a good chance to go into the archives and to see what we have said previously. So they've seen some of the money-making trades. But the point I want to make now is that up until early May, we really did enjoy a rather wonderful purple patch. Everyone, you just had to be there because markets were very strong. Stock markets were strong, commodity markets were strong, and these provided wonderful wonderful opportunities, particularly in the resources area and in the emerging markets. And I just want to just have a word of caution here that people who've joined quite recently may be hoping that, well, that they can participate in some of that and that those days still persist, or else there's some other rabbit to pull out of the hat in this current environment. Well, the message that I have on that is that no, we've gone from what was a very favorable period for making money to one that is considerably more dangerous. And I think that the another way I would put it is to say that our favorite sectors that I've just mentioned have gone from powerfully trending markets into the sort of whipsaw casino type environment and medium term correction. So it's easier to lose money in this environment than to make money. And some of the more trader-oriented people, whether new subscribers or veterans of many years, and some Fuller Money subscribers have been with me since the very beginning. And it's not unusual to see subscribers who, when I do meet them, say they've been subscribing since, well, for 20 years or more. But the point I'm making is that some of them are saying, some of the trading-oriented people are saying, well, why not short all these things? Except they don't want to short gold, which I think is easing down into what's a pretty attractive zone here, although I can't say it's bottomed, and I don't think it has bottomed on this particular move. Ditto silver, because these are in secular bull markets, in my view, and the whole resources sector, they're in secular bull markets. And I'm not going to be shorting some of my favorite stock markets for the long term, even though I suspect that they will go somewhat lower in here right now. Now, how much lower? We're getting some hysterical commentary coming out from a number of sources around the globe, and some from some fairly big name sources. We have to be a little bit careful here. And I know people who live in glass houses, such as myself, should not be throwing stones, and I'll try not to throw stones. But there is a behavioral component here. There will be some people who you will know of, quite high profile from the from some of the major institutions, who are bearish more often than not, and they make a very useful contribution, and we need to balance their arguments. And I certainly own, and I give them coverage here and comment of the day. We don't have to agree with them, but we've always felt that it's important to look at both sides of the argument. And some of these people, of course, having been really very bearish, talking about hard landings in China for the last 3 years, talking about a hard landing in the United States for the last 3 years, talking about crashes, seeing bubbles absolutely everywhere, then being humiliated by the markets for the better part of 39 months, and then going quiet for a while, are of course re-emerging. A little bit too subtle to do the "I told you so," or at least I haven't seen that, but coming out as born again and greatly emboldened bears. And it's all good fun and games, except it does terrify a lot of people, and I suspect a bit unnecessarily so. Now, there are risks out there, that's for sure. And I hope in talking about a medium-term correction for 2Q and 3Q that I've been pointing out those risks, and that we were entering what was a much more tricky, dangerous patch of market activity. I don't think it'll last all that long. I think that it'll all be over and dusted up and done with before the end of October. And I do expect an excellent buying opportunity between now and then. And every downward twist that we see in these markets, and Owens may have made this point in part of his comment here today, every downward twist we see in these markets, at least the markets that we like most, is bringing us closer to the next good buying opportunity. But you know what sentiment's like. It's always most bearish as markets approach a bottom, and it's always most bullish at the top of the cycle. And part of the reason for that is behavioral. The people who are long and leveraged up near the highs, well, not all of them are idiots, but they can bolster their morale by making more aggressive bullish forecasts, often extrapolated well into the future. And at the bottom of the cycle, if people have sold out or short, they're not going to be bullish, are they, in their utterances, or they'd be schizophrenic, wouldn't they? So they will, knowing that markets have come down a fair way at the bottom of sell-offs, whether bear markets or medium-term corrections, and I think this is very much a medium-term correction, as I've said repeatedly. But they will, if they're short, or if they're sitting on the sidelines in cash, in other words, out of the market, they will make increasingly bearish comments often because they'd like to see markets go even lower and create an even better buying opportunity or short covering opportunity. So you need to bear those behavioral points in mind. And I have noticed a big increase in the bearish commentary that I'm receiving in terms of the emails that are flowing in from all over the world. Now, some of these are from some very smart and experienced people, and others I don't know at all. But where in the first few months of the year, a number of people were saying, "Well, come on, look at these charts. The Dow's going to explode on the upside, and what are the worries and so on." Now I'm getting the opposite kind of comment, and again, meaning no disrespect, but I regard that as a bit of a contrary indicator. And statistically, any view is in with a chance. But from this vantage point here, my view, at any rate, is that this is no more than a medium-term correction for global stock markets. The valuations weren't so terrifying, with the exception of those Middle Eastern markets like Saudi Arabia, which have already more than halved. But the valuations weren't so terrifying that we need to be looking for a really serious secular bear market. Sure, growth is going to slow down a bit because of the higher interest rates, a drop in stock markets, drop in liquidity, and slowing in the velocity with which money changes hands. Sure, global GDP growth will slow a bit. That's part of my script. And if global GDP growth slows somewhat, then sure, corporate profits will revert back towards the mean. In other words, they'll decline a little bit because they've been unsustainably strong. So I expect to see that. And that, of course, will be one of the reasons why central banks will stop their hawkish talk on inflation and say that interest rates have peaked, or actually begin to cut interest rates once again. So that's very much the background that I expect. I know I've written about it in those terms, but I also wanted to state it in the audio, and that's what I expect to see. And I'm beginning to salivate at the prospects of the buying opportunities that lie ahead over the next few months. So if you've written something down that you really like for the long term, for good fundamental technical reasons, then I would not be worrying overly about that. No problem. I'm doing that. I'm doing that myself. But I do have a fair amount of cash on the sidelines that I look forward to investing in some of my favorite areas, hopefully at better prices than we see today. But we've already seen quite a significant retracement, so we're well into this medium-term correction. Although I do not think that the bottom is just around the corner. Best I can see on the upside in the short term is more right-hand extension ranging, and then most markets are likely to move a bit lower. How low, as I've said before, depends on how the central banks play it in here. In other words, the longer they hold onto the tough line on inflation and push interest rates higher, the sharper the reaction is likely to be, because there have been an awful lot of people who've been in total denial on inflation pressures. Conversely, if markets were to fall more sharply for whatever reason, causing central banks to be a bit concerned about the economic implications, then we would probably get a somewhat shallower correction and bottom somewhat sooner. So it's in the hands of the central banks, really, and we can monitor it every step of the way by looking at the price charts that all subscribers can, of course, see whenever they wish to. Okay, moving on to the government bonds. Poor potential for this sector, and its best chance of a decent rally is on a bit of a slowdown in economic growth, central banks declaring victory against inflation. I wrote yesterday there would be quite a bit of humbug in that, and weaker stock markets help to firm the bond markets. But I would welcome further rally in long-dated government bonds in Europe and the United States, just to give me a better selling opportunity. Japan, for that matter, as well. And that's the only one. JGBs, it's the only bond market where I still have a short position, but my shorts are now very small relative to what they were a couple of months ago. And in terms of the U.S. dollar, I've mentioned on a number of occasions that while the dollar outlook is bearish overall, and while I remain convinced that the U.S. wants a lower dollar, and that we will almost certainly see a lower dollar, it's never going to happen in a straight line. And some heavyweight appointments to the Treasury and the Fed in recent weeks have shown that the U.S. is not going to put itself in the position of having a dollar in free fall, and there's no reason really why the dollar should go into free fall. But I think the U.S. would be quite happy to see a gentle decline in the dollar, and are helping to engineer that. But the point I've been making recently as well is that when these markets take fright, that does tend to bolster the dollar a bit. And Americans who've pushed so much money overseas, they bring some of it back, goes into their currency. They get frightened in some of the commodities, precious metals, and that money comes out and back into dollars. And markets take fright, and people reduce positions, and there have been more people dollar short than dollar long recently. So they cover some of those shorts. It's that type of thing. I don't think the dollar has a great deal more to do on the upside, but again, I look at the charts and I can't say that this firm patch is over yet. Indeed, the less forecasting one makes on a day-to-day basis in here, probably the better, because it's very much whipsaw territory, as I've mentioned before. Industrial resources. This, in my view, is a major secular bull market. You've heard the arguments for this so many times. I'm certainly not going to repeat them this evening in what is already a long audio. But suffice it to say that something like copper, which most people thought was too high when it was 50% lower, is holding up a lot better than some of the favored stock markets among the institutions such as Japan and South Korea. I like Japan and South Korea as well, but not at the moment. They're coming back coming back towards buying ranges. But point I'm trying to make on copper and a number of these other industrial resources is that they are well underpinned fundamentally, and I think there's been quite an exaggeration in terms of the speculative influence on prices overall. This is a classic supply and elasticity meets rising demand environment. So volatility, yes. Medium term corrections, yes. Did we see mini bubbles in here? Sure. But these are powerful secular bull markets, and all you have to do is go in and look at the inflation adjusted charts, and to put that in perspective. And all you have to do is look at the increase in mining output. Actually, there some the output in terms of some metals has actually declined and been declining for some time, and yet the demand remains voracious as these developing economies that embrace capitalism are building cities which are popping up like mushrooms in the autumn. Okay, so I think that theme is going to run and run. And I wouldn't be too bearish on oil in here. I've had a few bearish emails on oil. Sure, this can fluctuate in a $10-$15 range or so, but don't forget rather, we're also heading towards that U.S. hurricane season. So I'd be surprised to see $60 oil again anytime soon. Anything's within the bound of possibilities in markets, as we know, but this is still, look at the charts, this is still a very choppy overall secular uptrend. And I'd be surprised to see 60, and if we do see it, I think we wouldn't see it for long. I certainly don't think it's going to get back to 40, although Big Oil would love to see that happen because of their long-term contracts. They do less well with oil at these levels because too much of the revenue in there, from the Big Oil standpoint, reverts back to the countries of origin. So they have a big vested interest in seeing oil back below $40 a barrel. I think that's a pipe dream, and that demand will continue to grow remorselessly. And I think that's pretty much it. So again, it's been a long audio, so I'll draw to a close and just wish you all the best.